by Mike and is carrying on as Mike would have wanted every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning, and welcome to the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO. Welcome. Morning, Joe.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going? Good, good. Are we?
You made it through the wind. Huh?
The wind. Oh my gosh, the wind. If you're in Sonoma County anywhere, I think actually all over the Bay. I watched the news this morning. It's pretty much all over the Bay Area. The wind. So hold on to your hat. And good thing it's not raining.
And everything else.
And everything else. Your papers. Your everything. I have an awning that I had to take down this morning because it was just threatening to blow away. Anyway, so welcome to the Real Estate Hour. Thanks for joining us here. And we've got a lot of random miscellaneous stuff to talk about, but we are going to talk about the numbers. January numbers are in, and it's here we are halfway through. We're almost not 9 days into the month. It feels like longer than that, really.
Yeah,
okay. Or does it feel like less than that to you?
They always do.
I know. I don't know. Sometimes it depends on what's happening, what you're looking at. But anyway, so let's not rush the month. But so we are going to look at the January numbers. Since we had a guest last week, it didn't make sense to do it, but we'll look at it today. We'll kind of dive a little deeper into all the, what sold in January, what's going on. And interest rates are just ridiculously low. They're the lowest they've been in a long time. And in part, they're saying because of the scare from the coronavirus, when bad things happen in the world, interest rates go down. So it's kind of a mixed thing. We're happy that the interest rates are low, but it's unfortunate, that it must mean something horrible is happening in the world. So what are you going to do, other than take advantage of it, I guess, and make the best of a bad situation and take advantage of the good of it. If you're looking to buy a house, you think you didn't qualify, or you qualified for too low of a number to where you really couldn't find what you were looking for or what you needed in a house or in a property, really take a look again. Reach out to a lender that you maybe had talked to before, or if you feel like you didn't have a good connection, you want a different lender. I have a whole list of lenders that I recommend that I've worked with. I know they'll do a good job. I know that they're well known in the community, which is actually really helpful to you when you go to write an offer. That the other agent, the listing agent, knows the lender and is comfortable with them, knows that they're local. You don't have to use a local lender, but we really, really recommend it. And there's a lot of reasons why. We'll go into that more another time, or maybe a little bit later when we're talking about the rates. But anyway, so, take advantage of that if you are a buyer or a potential buyer, or kind of wrote yourself off as not being able to buy, really take another look at it, because interest rates are under 4% in some cases. And again, it depends on what your specific situation is. And we can read off the average interest rate or what the, typical interest rate is. And there's always some variation in that depending on what your credit score is, what the loan to value is going to be, what your risk factor is. Makes a huge difference in what your interest rate is going to be. So important to keep that in mind, but they're really low right now. So reach out and reach out to a lender and say, okay, can I qualify for more, or now can I qualify for a house or for a mortgage and a loan? Anyway, so we're going to talk about the numbers after we come back from the break, and then we're also going to talk about now the equity's up, and we went through this horrible time after 2007-08 where the kind of bottom fell out of the market, and everybody was pretty much everybody was underwater and had pulled money out because they had this crazy equity that built up in a short amount of time, including myself. I bought my house in 1997, and every year looking at the numbers and go, oh my gosh, I've got all this equity suddenly. And so in my case, I pulled money out And bought a couple of investment properties, which served me well later when the bottom did fall out and I was in real estate and not doing enough business to pay my bills. I actually ended up selling my investment properties in another state where they were just starting to feel what we had felt, 6 months sooner or earlier. Anyway, so served me well in that regard, and I actually did make some money on them, but it put me into that place where I was underwater as well. It's what a lot of people did is took money out when they had that huge increase in equity. Sometimes it's a good idea, and some people got really hurt by that. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is that there was an article that I read that I'm going to talk a little bit about that there's actually a real kind of crazy numbers more than a quarter of the mortgage homes right now have loan to value of lower than 50%. So equity is on the rise. And I think people have made it through that, and maybe they're enjoying that equity. And there's also people that bought at the bottom of the market and they experienced huge equity growth in that as well when our market kind of took off again in 2012-13. And has been steadily going up. So just some interesting numbers about that across the country. And then really because it is Valentine's week and love is in the air, let's talk about a love letter to the seller. And there's a lot of, it's kind of controversial. A lot of people say, no, don't do it. It's a bad idea. It could, actually make you lose out on a multiple offer situation because maybe the seller doesn't like you. But honestly, most sellers just a regular seller, a lot of times a seller who is, if it's the parents' house, parents died, the kids grew up there, they care who is moving into their house in some situations. They also care how much money they're going to get. So a love letter can only go so far. They're also going to take the best offer, typically, as far as higher amount, but not necessarily. And sometimes it's, they don't want it to go to an investor. They want it to go to, that family, that young family that's moving in that is going to experience what they did growing up in that house. So there's a lot of reasons why, and we'll kind of go through that, why it's a good idea, maybe it's not a good idea. So we'll talk about that today. And then before we go to break, quickly about, I do have a listing right now. I had a couple. One of them went into escrow, and we're moving through that process. But I still have 506 Tracy Ave, which is a PUD, townhouse, condo. And the difference between a condo and a PUD is you can't tell by looking at it. You have to look in the tax records and see how it was designated when it was developed. But a PUD, basically, you own the land and the house, the structure that sits on top of the land. With a condo, you own basically the inside of the walls. So you own everything on the inside, the airspace, the interior walls, you own all of that. But the condominium owner or HOA owns the outside. So that's the difference. And it's much easier to get a loan on a PUD than on a condominium, depending on what type of loan you're getting. And anyway, so this is a PUD. It's a two bedroom, two bath. It's 1122 square feet. Nice little backyard. It's an end unit, single level. It's on a slab, so there's truly no steps to get into this house. It's great for an older person, somebody who maybe is in a wheelchair, has some limited mobility, and really doesn't want to deal with steps. There are none, so that's awesome, both through the garage and through the front entrance. It's a two-car garage. It's attached. You just go right into the kitchen. Nice tall ceilings, a skylight in the kitchen, really light and bright. Just a great property and really well cared for by my seller. It's listed at $465,000. It has an HOA. The HOA covers all the exterior of the building, which is a little unique for a PUD because a lot of times they don't cover the exterior. And it'll just cover like management or if there's any facilities or anything like that. There is none. There's some green space. There's some walking paths, but there is no pool or clubhouse or anything like that, but they do take care of the roof and the exterior. So it's a great property. Come out and take a look. Well, I don't have an open house, so give me a call if you'd like to take a look, or your agent can go into the MLS and see how you get in to see it. It does say appointment only, but you know what? It's a really easy appointment to make. The owner just has some kind of weird working and sleeping hours. So we're accommodating him for that. But he's really very easy to work with as far as getting in to take a look at it. So I encourage you to take a look. And then, let's take a break. And when we come back, couple of things to talk about before we dive into the numbers. I am Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We will be right back.
Keep on top of what's happening on Wall Street and why. Mornings at 12 and 42 past the hour with financial editor Steve Reuter. All day long at 31 past with CNBC. From FM News Talk Radio 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is Allison Norman here, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Thanks for joining me. I just realized I have you can't see because this is radio, but I have two sets of headphones, and I guess they're both plugged in. I put one on, and I looked up at my microphone, and there was another one hanging there, and I was confused for a minute. So anyway, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining me here every Sunday morning to talk about real estate and all the things that go along with real estate, including, you know, what's happening in the community and other random stuff that I feel like throwing in there. So something from Mike Kelly, who was an avid beekeeper. And funny story, if you haven't heard the story, he got the beekeeper bug, if you will, when we had a bank-owned property that had been trashed by teenagers in the neighborhood prior to us getting there and securing it. And they boarded up all the windows, and the way they do that is, you know, piece of plywood, you know, all up against the glass, and there's a little bit of a kind of a warp in the two pieces of plywood, and some bees got in there. It was swarm season, so those bees swarmed into, found a nice little cozy home in between the plywood and the sliding glass door, and it made a really awesome observation hive, because you could see less than a week's time, they had built this really cool, you know, colony in there of honeycomb. And so we had agents coming over. I think it was during spring break, and we had agents, you know, can I bring my kids over and take a look? And it was really cool. And we called this wonderful woman named Edda Marie Peterson, who remains friends of both of ours now here, and she's in Petaluma, and she is she's a beekeeper. She's been around for years and years. She came out, and we watched as she put her little swarm box out and captured the bees. And both of us were just really fascinated with the whole thing. And my dad was a beekeeper, kind of a hobby beekeeper, years before. And I had some bad experiences with bees. So I was a little cautious. But anyway, Mike, being the guy that he was, got really into it and went and got some beehives and kind of started his own thing. And that was kind of what started his love for beekeepers, and being a beekeeper and knowing all about bees. But there is the reason I bring all this up and why this is, I was prefacing it for why this is for Mike. But there's a great movie. I posted it on Facebook that actually won an Oscar, a foreign film. I think they changed the name of the category, but it's, it won, I don't know if it was nominated or had already won, because some of them they nominate or they award ahead of the Oscars tonight, but it won an award, or is up for an award. And it's about beekeepers, and it's it looks like a great movie, so I would encourage you to check it out. It's called Honeyland, and it's it looks like a really interesting story about beekeepers and bees and the wonderful things that bees do for us. And then another just mention about bees is, I don't know if you've seen or heard, this time of year, we're kind of mild here in Sonoma County, so there are a lot of flowers starting to bloom, but dandelions are one of the first food for the bees when nothing else has started blooming yet. So they say to just not, don't go out and pick all the, the weeds yet. Because the weeds are typically the first and only food that the bees have when we're in the early spring like we are now. So just keep that in mind. And don't use the Roundup. Use something else, because that kills the bees, and we're losing bees. If we lose the bees, we will lose, a lot, our food source. We'll all go extinct. So anyway, save the bees. And think about Mike Kelly when you're doing it. It's funny how that little thing that happened that, of course, had to do with real estate started this, this love of bees for both of us, really. So anyway, moving on. Another that I'm going to post on Facebook, and I wanted to remind you before I forget, next week, Diva Marie Proto and Bill Rousseau are our former county tax assessor, registrar of voter, and Ms. Proto is the current who replaced Bill after his years and years of being on that position. They're both going to join me next week, and we're going to talk about what's going on with a couple of the bills that are being proposed or that are going to be on the ballot, and one that's on the ballot now. And I don't want to wait until they come. I'm going to post this on Facebook, and maybe you've seen it, but there's a lot of stuff, a lot of chatter and misinformation going on about the current Prop 13 that's on the ballot. This is not the Prop 13 that has to do with your property taxes and your homeowner, your tax base and the, Prop 13 that keeps us at a 1% and then not more than 2% per year. That is there's people out there right now petitioning to put something on the ballot that has to do, it's a split roll, it has to do with removing or adjusting the Prop 13, the commercial side of Prop 13, when we talk about Prop 13 that has to do with property taxes, and it's just commercial, it's not residential property. However, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about today's Prop 13 that's on the ballot. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. So I asked them to come in to clarify that, for one. But something that was posted on Facebook, and I'm going to share it on the I don't know if I did hit send or not, but I have it ready to send. But it's about, explaining that and saying this is not true, what people are posting. It has absolutely nothing to do. And the part of the confusion is that there's this other one that they're talking about that's not, that they're talking about putting on the November ballot. The Prop 13 that we're looking at now, it has to do with money for schools, it has to do with bonds, and it's completely different. So they're going to debunk that, but, since the mail-in ballots went out, and people sometimes like to get a jump on that, I don't want to wait and just, let really look into what that is. And the reason it's called Prop 13, they really had no choice, and you got to kind of feel for these people that are trying to get this passed with everybody thinking that it's something else. But, you know, propositions start with prop one and it goes up to, I don't know what it goes up to. I should know that. But anyway, it goes up to whatever and then it resets. And so it reset and now we're up to 13 and they got the luck of the draw to be proposition 13 on the ballot. And so just really read into it. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Read the, you know, your sample ballot and understand what it is, really. And tune in next Sunday because they're going to explain that. And really, I would encourage, I know people get their mail-in ballot and they get all excited to get it done and get it out of the way. But, you know, what if you send it in and then you find out some information that completely changes your mind and now you're kind of stuck. So, you know, I would say kind of stay tuned for another week or so. I would, you know, wait. I don't know. I'm a procrastinator, so maybe I'm not giving good advice. But in this case, I think it's a good idea to wait. So anyway, wait and really do your research. And I'll post that on Facebook on Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. So you can read a little bit about it and then tune in next week because Bill Rousseau has been on the show quite a bit, longtime guest of the Real Estate Hour. And then Diva Marie Proto is our new county assessor, registrar of voters. I don't know, it's a long name. But anyway, so she replaced Bill. So it's going to be a great show with both of them. Please tune in next Sunday. I think it'll be great. All righty, so enough of that. So let's look at briefly the numbers, and then I don't know if we're going to have time. Yeah, we'll look. We'll look briefly at the numbers. If we have to go to the news, then we'll finish it up when we come back, okay? So active on the market right now, there are 643 single-family homes active on the market. And that's been, it's stayed pretty consistent the last, you know, really the first part of the year. It is way up from, you know, the end of last year where we were down in the, you know, low or high fours, I think. So these are active on the market across the board. You can go put an offer on it today. 643. There are 75 active condos in the market, 86 mobile homes, 30 multiple unit, 2 to 4 units. Lots and land. I've been keeping an eye on the residential lots and land that you could build a home on. There's 270 of those available. 133 of those 270 are in the 03 and 04 zip code, which of course is the fire zones. Those areas, if you are thinking about building a lot to build a home on, there's some, if you get into that resiliency area, the fire rebuild area, there are some different rules. They're making it easier. They're reducing fees. They're really working hard to get those lots, get homes back on those lots, and really start generating some revenue for the city, for one thing. But they really just want to get it back up and running, and they're doing a great job because we are so far ahead from where they thought and assumed. You know, they were saying like 10 years before we get all the homes back, and we're well ahead of that curve. So anyway, 133 active 0304 residential lots for sale, and then looking at what's looking at the sold numbers, there are 233 sold in January. And you know what? I think we're going to let's finish this when we get back from the news, because I want to kind of dive into, you know, what that looks like, what's in escrow, kind of what happened in January and what we're seeing looking into February. And as I've mentioned before, February, really after the Super Bowl, which is over and done with. Darn it. Don't cry. You know, really that's when we start seeing a surge in, and it kind of has to do with the weather as well, but we start seeing a surge in homes coming on the market. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back after the news.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Leading up to the New Hampshire primary Tuesday, Joe Biden's been sharpening his attacks on Pete Buttigieg. Biden said the 38-year-old former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is no Barack Obama. On ABC's This Week, Buttigieg responded,
"I'm not Barack Obama, and neither is he. Neither is anyone running for president right now. And this isn't 2008. It's 2020.
Candidates campaigning throughout New Hampshire today. Two New York City police officers were shot and wounded in separate incidents less than 12 hours apart, allegedly by the same person. Mayor Bill de Blasio says,
"This was an attempt to assassinate police officers. We need to use that word because it was a premeditated effort to kill."
The suspect in custody, both officers expected to make full recoveries. There are now at least a dozen Americans with coronavirus on board the cruise ship of more than 3,000 that's quarantined off Japan. 1917, the favorite to win Best Picture at tonight's Academy Awards. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies, no rain in the forecast to speak of. High of 64, 61 along the coast today. Clear skies tonight, low 42, 45 on the shores. Going up to 71 then for tomorrow, 64 in Bodega Bay. Still sunny skies. Blue skies for Tuesday at 72, 63 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is Allison Norman here on the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO. And from 9 to 10, thanks for hanging out with me every Sunday morning. And hope you learn a little bit and we have a little bit of fun and all that. I have fun anyway. I hope you're having fun tuning in. We were talking about interest rate. Oh, and Prop 13, I just posted on Facebook during the break. So Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook. This is a little bit of information to kind of mythbuster about the current Prop 13 that's on the ballot. Is not what you think it is, and please be informed and understand before you send off that mail-in ballot. And better yet, wait until after next Sunday when we talk to Diva Marie Proto and Bill Rousseau, the past and current county assessor and registrar of voter. And we're going to talk about that and some other stuff that's coming up on the ballot and things you should know about all of that. So, hang on to your ballots, wait until you find out, or just, you know, do your own research and really make sure you understand it. So back to the numbers. So we're seeing, like I said, there's currently 643 active homes on the market. I think there were like 60, maybe a little less than 60 that came on in January. So not a lot, but I don't know. I'm seeing, it feels like a lot of stuff's coming on. That number may be a little skewed. It's hard to look at in our MLS. There's some other ways to go in and look at past listings. But the MLS it's a little hard because they like to look at active listings, not past active listings, you know, because once it goes into contingent or pending or sold, then it's no longer, you know, they no longer pull it up as active. So it gets a little tricky. But as far as what's currently active on the market, 643, there are 362 in escrow. This is single family homes. And then 233 that sold in January. So, you know, when you look at it, when you look at months of inventory, it's really low. And, you know, you could break it down by price point and get a really more accurate number of or accurate idea of what the actual months of inventory is for your particular price point. But really, when you look at it across the board, and it gets a little skewed because, you know, some of these are, you know, multi-million, you know, $20 million home. And, you know, obviously that's not the one that you're looking for, or maybe it is, I don't know. But if you're looking for a $700,000 house, you don't care how long, how much the month's supply is of a, you know, $2 million house. So, anyway, so these are just general numbers, but really when you look at the months of inventory, we're less than a month of inventory across the board. And that's because really that's being fueled by the lower priced homes that are coming on the market and just getting, you know, scooped up right away. The house on Moonview that I put in escrow, we got multiple offers and it sold in a week. I mean, you know, we put it into escrow in a week. We're still working through the process of inspections and appraisal and all that. But that one went really quickly because it's single family home, single level, priced in the low 500s. I mean, that's a really hot market right now. And really, yeah, it's just like a week supply of inventory. You know, it'll sell very quickly. So if you have something like that, be excited. If you're thinking about putting on the market, because now is the time, there's not a lot of them out there. And get in there before we start to see a really increase in inventory as we head into the spring and summer, which is when people typically like to put their houses on the market. So if you can beat that by getting in when the month supply, you know, the supply of housing is low, that's a good thing to do. So just to finish up the numbers there, sold in January, there were 223 single family homes, 31 condos, 17 mobile homes. That mobile home market's kind of has going really strong. And I think, you know, as our prices go up, it becomes another option, a lower priced option for somebody that maybe didn't qualify. However, with a mobile home, it's a much harder loan process. There are some lenders that'll do a mobile home, but typically there's a lot of restrictions to that. And some of the space rents or park rents are really high. So just be careful with that. And you have to not only, you know, buy the mobile home, but you have to qualify for the space rent. And so a lot of moving parts in a mobile home purchase, but they are selling and we've got 86 on the market right now. We've got 17 sold and we have 30 that are in escrow working through the escrow process. So that's a good solid moving market. Multi-unit, 6 of those sold in January, 18 lots of the 270 that are active right now, and 18 sold, and 45 are in escrow right now. And then when you look at the 03 and 04, which again is the fire zones, the fire areas, Mark West, that's 95403, 95404, Mark West, Fountain Grove, and Larkfield and Coffee Park. That kind of encompasses all of that. And of course, there were some other areas like over, you know, Rincon Ridge and over that way. But I'm looking at just residential lots in that 03 and 04 zip code. There are 14 that sold this year. In January. And currently there are 33 that are in escrow, kind of working through the process. So good, healthy numbers, I think. If anything, you know, we're low in some segments of the market. And others are going to take longer. If you have a higher priced home, it's, you know, they do take a little bit longer to sell unless you've got just a real gem that's priced really well. And, you know, and it's what everybody's looking for. It's going to go quickly. So keep all of that in mind. We'll keep a track every week. We look at the active numbers, what's happening on the market, and then every you know, sometime in the following month, we look at the full numbers. So we'll kind of keep doing that. And then I wanted to mention real quick, I thought this is kind of fun, this is also for Mike, it made me think of him, is the Monterio Theater is for sale. And if you know anything about, you know, if you've ever driven out to Monterio or out to Bodega Bay past, or out to the coast, past Monterio, and that takes you out We like to Jenner and all of that. You can't miss it. It's such an iconic building, the Kwanzaa Hut, out there at right at the gateway to Monterey. It sits on the beach or up above the beach. A couple bought it back, or a group of 27 investors bought it back in 2013 with grand plans of really bringing it back and doing some great things with it, as far as community events and not just a movie theater. There's currently, right now, there's a restaurant. There's a couple of other buildings that are rented, a surf shop and a something else. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, it's just a great, iconic place. It would be great to see somebody purchase that. It's just not my listing, but I thought it was fun to see it and to see it come on the market. And, you know, there's so much money in the Bay Area and the second home market out in the river area that it seems like there would be somebody that would be excited about purchasing this for $895,000. You get the whole thing, all the main theater, the restaurant behind, and the two smaller little Kwanzaa huts that are rented out. So I think it's a great investment. And I think if you have anybody thinking about buying it, give me a call and I will send you in the right direction or help you through that. I don't do a lot of commercial. I would get you over to somebody that does. And let's see if we can find a buyer to keep it its amazing self, or even better. And the people that bought it in 2013, the group, they actually did do a lot of updates to it. And, of course, it floods out there. So I don't think they flooded. I'm not sure, actually. I don't know about that. But anyway, I think it's a cool building, and I think it'd be cool to see somebody buy it. So onward with that. Let's talk about love letters to the seller. And here it is, almost Valentine's Day. Love it or hate it. There's a lot of people that don't. Let's talk about loving other things. How about a love letter to your seller? So what is a love letter to your seller? You know, especially when it's a strong market, multiple offers, a really desirable property, it really can be helpful to write a personal letter to the seller. So you as a buyer, write a personal letter to the seller. And what you want to do, and first let me preface this by saying your agent should find out all they can about who the seller is. Who is the seller? Is it a family selling it? Is it the trustee of an estate? Is it the kids that grew up there and they care who buys their house? Is it an investor that flipped it? They could care less, who's buying it. I don't want to see your love letter. So what's important to the seller and who they are? Really, those are really crucial when it comes to writing a letter to the seller, because you want to touch on those things that you know are important to them and explain why you think you're the right person for their home. You're basically, it's a resume, it's an interview, a personal letter to the seller. You can, to tell them what you loved about the house, what you, how you plan on using it, the family events, the grandchildren, your kids can walk to the school. It's around the corner from your job. It's, all kinds of things that why this is a good house for you and why you are the perfect buyer for their house. It really can help. And sellers, if it is a regular seller, not an investor, not the bank. It's funny because when we did a lot of bank-owned properties, the REOs, we would get multiple offers in, and there'd be a letter from the buyer, and you gotta kind of giggle at that a little bit because it's like, nobody's gonna see that. And I guess it could maybe, tug at the heartstrings of the listing agent who is gonna recommend maybe one over another, but really the asset manager is who was deciding, and half the time they didn't get your letter anyway because they don't want to see it. They just want to know what's in the offer. So it really, really, really is important for the buyer and for your agent to find out as much as possible about the seller, so that you can make sure and make sure, one, it makes sense to write a letter, and then also you know, what is it that they want to know? So let's take a break. We'll come back. I will tell you, you know, some of the things why you shouldn't write a letter and how it can actually hurt you. So we'll talk about that when we get back. I am Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here on KSRO. We'll be right back.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike just found out the alcohol content of the Pliny the Younger, 10.25.
Holy shnikes, Batman. Where's the designated driver leaving this place?
Live and local, Steve Jackson on the Drive, afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Larkfield hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO from 9 to 10. Thanks for tuning in. And I forgot to mention, you can also always go to KSRO.com. You can listen live there, but you can also go to the podcast and listen over and over again, or listen to last week's show or shows going back to 2016. So some of Mike's old shows, some of Mike and my shows together. So a lot of good stuff there, KSRO.com. You go to shows, then Ask the Expert, and then Allison Norman Real Estate. You have to go through a few little hurdles to get there, but you'll find me there. And then Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman is another great way to get some of the information that I talk about on the show. And then I typically try and post the podcast link as well. That'll take you right there, so you don't have to go through all those steps to find it on KSRO.com. But either way is a great way to listen after the show and get some more information. So don't forget that. So we're talking about, because it's coming up on Valentine's Day and love is in the air, we're talking about the personal love letter, quote unquote love letter, to your seller if you're a buyer buying a property. And really, just on the plus side, I think it's a great idea. And again, it depends on who the seller is. And having your agent find out as much as they possibly can about who the seller is will really influence whether, one, it's a good idea to write a letter, and two, you know, what you should put in the letter, what you should kind of hold back on. And then I would say, you know, make sure that it's attached to the offer, like as part of the offer package, so that you're sure that the seller sees it. You ask, you know, have your agent say, you know, please make sure that the seller sees this and have them sign it that they saw, because you want them to see it. And then I usually add a cover letter from myself, you know, just in the body of the email with a little bit of an explanation about who the buyers are. How well qualified they are for the loan. We include the lender pre-approval, but then I also say, you know, here's their contact information for the lender. Give them a call if you have any questions, and how well they're qualified. If it's FHA or VA, you want to add in some verbiage about that, as far as, you know, some of the things why they qualify for a VA loan, why you think the property will qualify, and what you'll do on your end to make sure that it makes it through that VA or FHA process. FHA is a little, VA is a whole different animal, where you're actually asking the seller to do any repairs. There's usually a cap on that. A lot of times, if you found a house that's in great condition, there's already a pest report, you don't have to worry about all that. But with FHA, you know, if there's a little bit of a question, I have one right now that we just put an offer in on that. There's a little bit of a question about, you know, FHA financing, but the buyers, you know, were willing to kind of all work together to make sure that it works. So just putting that information in the letter is helpful, I think, to make them really understand that you're on board to kind of to make this work. And that you've talked to the lender about it. The lender's looked at the property and they say, sure, I think it'll go FHA, or, you know, this might be a problem. And then we'll hit that when we get there. And everybody is now on the same page knowing, you know, what we're doing and what we're going to do to make sure that the offer gets through. Or that the, once the offer is accepted, that the transaction makes it to the end, which is what we all want. Anyway, but a reason why, you know, that it, there's a lot of people that think it's not a good idea, that it can undercut your power during negotiations because they kind of show their hand too much, that how much they love the house, how important, and this is the one, and all of that. And it's like when you go to negotiate later, they're like, no, they love this house. They have to have it, you know. We're not going to negotiate. So it could hurt. There's some people that feel that way. It could make a seller uncomfortable if you give too much information, so be careful about that. Or if you come off as insensitive or say something in the letter that turns off the seller. So just be careful with that. It could bias the seller. And you know, one of the biggest cons, if you will, of writing a personal letter is that could lead to discrimination, which is why some agents prefer to steer clear of that. And again, you know, read the situation. Have your agent really read the situation. Get to, you know, who the sellers are. And most letters consist of the buyer explaining their lives to add a touch of emotion to their otherwise dry contract, which is why it's worked a lot for such a long time. But buyers might reveal personal information that prejudices the seller against them. And the Fair Housing Act states that buyers and sellers cannot discriminate on the basis of color or race, sex, religion, national origin, disability, or familial status. So, you know, just keep that in mind. And that's kind of why people say that it's kind of a slippery slope to write the love letter to your seller. But again, have your agent and yourself read the situation and put some thought into it. And I think it's a good idea, but there are some times when maybe it's not. So keep that in mind. Before we run out of time, Americans are equity rich as home values rise. So almost 15 million homes in the U.S. were equity rich in the fourth quarter of 2019, meaning their mortgages were 50% or less of their estimated market value. And that's good news. 27% of all mortgage homes matching the share in the prior quarter. So the good news is, you know, home values are up. People are getting out of debt. If you stuck it out through that, the horror that was our market collapse in, you know, that really started when I came into real estate in 2006, and everyone said, are you crazy? What are you doing? Haven't you heard that the bottom's going to fall out of the market? And I said, oh, yeah, that's okay. But I want to do real estate. I mean, it's something I had, and I was actually already investing. I already bought my investment purchases. I had already got the real estate bug, really, and it was something I was really excited about. But anyway, if you got caught up in that and you stuck it out, or if you bought back in, you know, the 2012, 13, 14, you know, before the prices started going up again, you're really, you know, back at some good equity growth. And things are looking up. So that's a good thing for that. And then, you know, but we also have the big homeless situation and the affordability and a lot of people moving out of California. So, you know, I'm not saying we're out of the woods, but I am saying, you know, there are a lot of people sitting on quite a bit of equity. And so, and I think that's why a lot of people are choosing now to, you know, to sell and then move out of state. Because if you're sitting there on, you know, $200,000, $300,000 equity or more, and you take that money and go buy a house in Arizona or Idaho or Ohio or, you know, even, you know, parts of Texas, Houston has some really low prices. There's, you know, so you could do that. You have no mortgage because you could buy some for $200,000. And, but you have to live there and you have to leave Sonoma County. And that's why a lot of people are Staying put. But we're starting to see people, you know, putting money back into their houses, doing the work to fix them up, and I think it's good to see. So it's a little of both. It's that, and then people are also fixing them up and moving out. But that's okay. It makes room for other people to move in. So anyway, so that's good. That's good. I'm trying to think of what else. There was one other thing I wanted to mention to you before we run out of time. Oh, really? Well, you know, I want to get on my soapbox for a minute, or a few minutes that we have left. And I want to remind you that as a buyer and you're working with a seller, it's kind of like when you're working with an attorney or you're working with your doctor, and you have to tell them everything. You have to let your lender know what's going on. And I've had situations where, you know, the lender is doing the best they can with the information they have. And if you have more money available than you said you do, you know, you tell them, so you want to spend, you don't want to put more than, you know, $30,000 down, but you have $100,000 and you don't tell the lender that. Well, they're kind of starting the they're going to pull all that information. They're going to want to see your reserves and all of that. But just to get started, let them know from the front, you know, from the get go, they're not going to make you spend that $100,000. They need to know what you have in reserves, what you have available, what you know, what your bills are, what and you got to just be really careful about money that you're spending and paying off debt. While they're in the process of trying to qualify you, there's a lot of stuff and the lender really needs to know. So it's like why I compare it to like a doctor is if you go into the doctor and you don't tell them your symptoms, but you want them to find you a cure or give you a medication or, you know, something like that, they're not going to be able to fix you. They need to know what's going on. So a lender's the same thing. They need to know what's going on with you. What's happening in your future? Are you, you know, what's looking good, or what's a little scary that's looking bad that they need to know that could come up. And so just, you know, it's a situation I've come across a couple of times in the last year. And so I want to make sure people understand is you really need to let your lender know. And bottom line is they're going to find out later anyway, but, and a good lender is going to pull all of that information ahead of time. But we've run into situations where, not me. I guess it's been me on the other side as the listing agent. Where, and in one case, actually last year, where it was a buyer who came with an out of area lender, didn't tell the lender about a situation that had come up having to do with taxes, and it came up as we were, you know, in escrow. So that's not good. So, but you know, you want to tell your lender what's going on, and you want to make sure your lender, and if you're, you know, on the seller side, you want to make sure that there's a good lender. And if you have a good realtor, they're going to check and they're going to make sure who the lender is. So it's not just who, you know, how strong the offer is. It's not how, you know, how good the listing or the buyer's agent is. It's also how good their lender is that's coming in. So anyway, a lot of things to know. That's my soapbox. Talk to your lender. Tell them what's going on. Don't hold anything back. They need to know. They're not going to make you spend more money than you want to, but they need to know what they're working with. Okay. So that's all I got to say for that. Have a happy Valentine's Day if you're into that. If you have a significant other, some people are really bitter about it. Yeah, happy, but you know, give somebody a hug. Let's all, you know, spread the love, whether it's a, you know, Valentine's Day or not. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, happy Sunday. Next week, don't miss Stephen Marie Proto and Bill Rizzo, county assessor and former county assessor, here on the show. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.
The preceding was a paid presentation. This is Sonoma County's News Talk, K23 3CM Petaluma, K27 HCD, KSRO Santa Rosa.
I'm Brian Clark.